It's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight, where listeners like you produce your own program. This airtime is a free service offered to those interested in sharing their knowledge, talent, and passions. This is also a space to audition new programming. Opinions expressed in Open Journal may not reflect the views of the Pacifica Foundation, its staff, board, or volunteers. Information shared on Open Journal should not take the place of appropriate professional consultation. Now it's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight here on KPFT Houston.
Storytelling fulfills our need as human beings to cast our experiences in narrative form. Stories give us the security of explanation, explanations about life and its many forms. Good morning, and welcome to Storytime on KPFT's Open Journal. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication studies at the University of Houston downtown. Now, this morning's a treat. Every show's a treat. But today and next Friday, we'll showcase some of my student storytellers from UHD who, at the beginning of this semester, didn't even know they could tell a story. But they sure can. They aren't pros. They're better. Because the stories they will tell us are stories they will tell for the reason we eat and sleep. Because they have to. Lucretia Hinton was born in Athens, Texas. She's majoring in humanities and aspires to do anything in the arts, and she means it, as we'll find out later. Now, that may sound vague, but once you hear Lucretia's story, hear her voice, and feel her message, you'll know her love for the arts is deeper and richer than most anyone can fathom. Native Houstonian Miguel Rodriguez is a criminal justice major. He never imagined that storytelling would become a part of his skill set, part of his communicative repertoire, but it has, big time. He plans to pursue a career with the United States Marshals or the Houston Police Department. Now, you know, I've always thought students are surprising. They really are. Sometimes they get a bad rap. You know, things like, hey, all they want is a job. They really don't care about learning. Some, maybe. But listen to what a former student told me after taking a class in storytelling a couple of years ago. I recognized a longing to know more, say more, do more. I wanted to know myself because I saw people cared. Whenever I told a story, people looked at me. They wanted to know what I had to say. I wanted to know more about where I came from. And storytelling taught me passion and how to connect myself to things that matter. Well, you know, I've always loved teaching. When I started at UHD over 30 years ago, and as I tell people, I started when I was 9. I was a prodigy. But I still love it. And there are two reasons why I love it, sitting right next to me. So good morning to you both.
Good morning. Good
morning. You're nervous wrecks, aren't you? You're
yes.
Nervous wrecks.
Yes.
You're unbelievable. I love the idea of just intimidating you, right? You guys are going to do great, I promise. Lucretia, you know, your story touched me when I first heard it in class. It really did. And were you really surprised that it touched me that much?
I was. Yeah. I was really very surprised. I wasn't sure if it was something you just said to all of your students or if it was really like, hey, no, you have a great story to tell.
No. Am I that nice, really? Am I that nice?
Yes.
Yeah. Am I really?
Yes.
That's pathetic. That's pathetic. I could just stick a feather down my throat. I'm that nice?
Yes.
I try to be nice, and I try to find really good things to say about everybody's stories. But yours really, really was special, genuinely. And I think that people are going to understand that. But I just want you to go ahead and tell us the story and relax. And I think we're going to really understand why it's so meaningful.
Well, I knew what I wanted to be when I was 6. I had already had my life mapped out and planned out. You may as well have already called me an adult. I, Lucretia Cachet Hinton, was going to grace the stages of the Parisian Opera House and wow all the audiences with my amazing voice. Well, I started watching plays and movies, operas, and as I got older, I started reading on literature, comp theories, musical theory, everything. And by the time I was 13, I was going to submit myself for the New York Operetta program. I went horse when I was 17. After about a year, on the day, the very day of my 18th birthday, instead of opening that letter from the New York Opera program, telling me I graduated and I'm off to Paris or wherever else I would like to go, I was sitting in a doctor's office, being held by my mom, crying. She was saying, "It's okay, Shay. Don't worry about it. It's all right." She calls me Shay when she really is being consoling me. Well, we went to see Dr. Vera Wallace. He's a locally renowned physician for his Mastery of Anything and Everything Focal. And I recall that morning that we went, the preliminary exam was him feeling on my throat. And the first thing out of his mouth was, mm. And I remember I was, excuse me, mm? What does mm mean? Mm means mm, Miss Hinton. I didn't understand that. So it proceeded on from there. I swallowed all sorts of scopes and cameras and this stuff that they call cherry contrast. I'm pretty sure it was just cherry flavored Quicksilver. It was disgusting. And we were about there for about 3 to 4 hours, and we were waiting for the results. Then came that knock at the door. In came Dr. Wallace, and he set his clipboard down on the side counter, removed his glasses from his face, and he took them and cleaned them on his jacket. I could tell his brain was furiously working on how to tell me anything. My heart dropped. He looks up at me and he says, I'm so sorry, Miss Hinton, but there is some permanent and irreversible vocal cord damage. And I guess I can definitely understand, and it doesn't surprise me that I was ready to go that first Tuesday that we had our assignments due. And neither does it surprise me also that I was hoarse that day, because that day, Tuesday, February the 5th, 2013, was the 5-year anniversary of that moment for me. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know how you could ever imagine that that story wouldn't touch so many hearts, you know? How do you feel now?
I'm getting better. I'm happy to be on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. You're interested in any career in the arts, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What are some other things that you're interested in terms of the arts?
Well, I was looking at my dream job is to be a curator for any
museum. Good for you. Yeah, good for you. What do you think you can bring to that position?
Besides my awesomeness, have a
talent. Besides your awesomeness, absolutely. That's got to be on the top of the list.
I do have a love and a different passion for anything arts. I make collages myself.
What do you use to make those collages?
Anywhere from paint to maybe a sketch that I've drawn or some clippings from a magazine. Mm-hmm. I do it all, actually.
Why collage?
Well, I guess with me and just so many, it just inspires me how so many different things can come together to represent one great thing that does come from the heart.
Yeah. You know, I've always thought of collages as being artistic kaleidoscopes, just a whole bunch of different emotions. And I used to do collages, too, many years ago, because I had no idea where I was going and what I was feeling, and I was sort of a broken compass. And for me, putting together a collage gave me an opportunity to get some direction. Do you feel that way?
I do. And I hope it can grow into something else.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You are listening to The Natural Teller. Student storytellers Lucretia Hinton and Miguel Rodriguez at work on KPFT Storytime. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek. You know, when you listen to a story, one of the things that I love about storytelling is the fact that when you listen to a story, you really have to take your time. You have to just shut up and listen to the other person. We don't do that much anymore, do we? We just don't take the time to listen. Everything is so incredibly rushed. But when you tell a story, you ask the other person to stay quiet. You have to listen. You let things seep and simmer, not unlike brewing tea. Listeners experience the immediacy of a creative process taking place in their presence, and they experience the empowerment of being a part of that creative process. In effect, the storyteller takes us on a journey, and they return us to the present safely. And that's what you guys do when you tell these stories. It doesn't make any difference whether it's a personal narrative or a folktale, a fable. You take us on an unbelievable journey. You know, Miguel, we're going to listen to your story in just a few moments, but you were excited about today, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
You were really pretty excited. My God, it's like taking you to the circus.
Yes.
You know, I asked people to come in and rehearse. You were there in a heartbeat. You just couldn't wait.
I couldn't wait.
It was just amazing. And your mom is really proud.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, tell us why, if you can. Just tell us why your mom is proud. I love hearing about that.
Well, she's a single mother of five, and I try to do my best in everything I do. And when she sees that I try to achieve the best and do things that I can to help out, she really appreciates me for it.
Did you you showed her the critique and everything that I gave you?
I told her about it, and she was amazed. She was just surprised. She said, I knew you always have potential to do great things, and you always try to achieve to do the best you can.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It really is, because You know, when we talk about the pride of mothers, usually guys don't talk about that. But there you are, a big burly guy, huh?
Yes.
Right? You lift weights, you do whatever, and there you are talking about your mom. And I'll tell you, if you can't get a date, you can get a date now, because women love hearing that stuff, Miguel, I have to tell you. So your mom is a teacher, you said?
Yes, she's a pre-K teacher at Bear Boulevard.
And are all listening to you right now?
Yes.
And that's increasing your stress and anxiety, isn't it?
Yes, because they all know me. So
they all know you. Yes. And I told you there are at least 11.5 million people. Maybe a couple hundred that are listening to you right now.
Yes,
right, you know
yes.
that all across the world. This particular broadcast is a special one. It's broadcast across North America. So I just wanted to make sure that you weren't nervous and that you could relax and tell your story in just a few minutes. Lucretia, tell us what is it that you wanted people to hear when you told your story?
Well, I always thought that even though maybe one door is closed, there's always an opportunity for another one to open, which is why I'm now a humanities major and not a vocal composition.
Yeah. Humanities major consists of what?
It's actually a conglomeration of all the arts. It is humanities, mm-hmm. basically. Music and theater, drama, all of it.
So your major is kind of like a collage, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah, actually.
Right,
exactly. And then some leadership
yeah, yeah,
in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, before we take a break and go on to Miguel's story, I just wanted to ask you both, and a very serious question. What is it, I know that neither one of you imagined a storytelling class to be what it was and to learn what you thought you would, but I was hoping you might shed some light on what you learned about storytelling and what it's done for you beyond just telling a story.
I will definitely say it's helped me grow as a person. And even though I do have a background in performing in front of people, it's different because these stories, they're more personal and they come from the heart. And it actually, there's a level of confidence and comfortability, if you will, like to be able to tell them. It helps you grow and really know who you are on the inside, I think.
Does it really?
Yes, yeah. And it's different mm-hmm. from just having a book and maybe sitting your nephew on your lap, oh, hey, reading the book to mm-hmm. them. It's more complex than that. I never knew that.
Did you hear any stories during the course of the semester that made an impression on you, anything that you can think of?
Tons of them,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, give us an example of one.
Well, besides from Miguel's story,
right.
There was one that I believe Anika mm-hmm. told mm-hmm. about her singing.
Yeah.
It was the latest one where she was yeah. talking about her anxiety of performing.
Right. Yeah. You know, one of the things that we know about these personal narratives is that they have to be incredibly disclosing. We really have to take a risk in sharing a large part of ourselves, and we have to do it quickly. We just have a few minutes to do it. And I'm always impressed by student storytellers because they have an incredible sense of meaning of words. They use language well. They understand things like syntax and understanding the idea of how words paint very real verbal pictures. And I was always impressed by that. I think it comes almost innately. Miguel, what about you? What did you learn?
I've learned it's helped me grow because when I first started the class, I was very nervous. I didn't know how I was going to get up there and just speak, but I found that in storytelling, it's not just telling a story, but it's a way of communicating with people, making them listen to what you have to say, not just, hey, I'm going to start talking and then, you know, reveal what you're going to say, but it really connects with people when they actually listen to what you're really going to have to say.
Yeah. You know, there are all sorts of stories about stories. I'm always reminded of the one story about the elderly man. He was 94 years old, and he went to his priest to offer confession, and he says, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 2.5 years since I've been to confession. And the priest says, well, what exactly have you done, my son? You're 94 years old. You've lived a long life. What is exactly that you have done? And he said, well, to tell you the truth, Father, I have made love with 3 women last week. And the priest said, well, why are you telling me? And he says, hell, I'm telling everybody. You are enjoying student tellers Miguel Rodriguez and Lucretia Hinton showcase some of their work on Storytime, KPFT Houston's 90.1. Now in storytelling style, Miguel, okay, you made an indelible impression on us. You really did. Your story made an indelible impression, as Cree said a little bit earlier. Why don't you go ahead and tell us the story, because I think people are going to be amazed that someone like you can really generate this message. Please.
Okay. We all know that when tragedies happen, they happen in pair of threes. Well, one day in sunny California, as I'm going into Camp Pendleton, I was Marine. I'm going into work, and everything was fine. Then I receive a phone call from my cousin, and says, "Grandpa is dead." And I couldn't believe it because I never thought something of such tragedy can happen to me. Well, I felt pretty down, and I tried to go up my chain of command so I can go to Mexico to see for the burial of my grandfather. Well, due to the area that it was in, I wasn't able to go, so I was pretty let down. Later that day, around 16:30, as we all know, 4:30, I'm going home, and I lived with a fellow Marine. And as I walked in, he knew something was wrong. And at that point, I received another phone call. And it's from my sister. Me and her never had a great relationship. All she said was, "Dad's been shot. Dad's been shot." And then hangs up. I call her back so many times, and finally she answers and says, "I'm sorry, but Dad was working on his work truck when two gentlemen just went into the driveway, shot 3 times, and 1 bullet hit his chest. We don't know what his condition is, but he might still live. The bullet hit his chest and hit the lighter. My dad is a smoker." And at that time, my friend, he heard that conversation, and he said, "Not as a Marine, but as a friend, you need to go home and see your father because you might not have another chance to see him and forgive him." Well, immediately after that, I called my chain of command, and I was on the next plane to here to Houston. As I'm on the plane, a lot of memories are going through my head about my father, and me and my dad never saw eye to eye, and he was never around. But there was this one memory that came to mind that is very special to me. In boot camp, we have no form of communication but writing letters. And I used to write my grandmother and my mother a lot every day. That's all I would look forward to. And one day I received a letter from my mother saying, "Your dad will go see you graduate from boot camp." This made me very happy because my dad has never been there for me. A couple days later, I received another letter, but this time from my grandmother, saying he would not be able to make it because of work. I kind of knew to be let down, and I knew it was going to happen, and I just let it be. Well, graduation came, and the graduation ceremony went on, and we graduated, and they said, "You are now United States Marines." So as I'm leaving, and I'm going to get my bags, there's this one nickname that my father calls me, and it's Mike Tyson. He's always called me this for some reason, and I've never forgotten it. As I'm going to go get my bags, I hear it from the back. I hear it, "Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson." I think nothing of it. I keep walking. I hear it again. And this time, I feel his arm on my shoulder. And as I turn around, there he was. It was the proudest moment of my life because he's never been there for such an amazing moment that was happening in my life. Well, I finally arrived here in Houston, and I'm going to the hospital, and I finally get to my father, and we talk, and we say what we had to say to each other, and as I'm leaving, he says, "Mike, you didn't have to come," and I turn around and say, "Yes, I do, because I love you."
Wow. You've told that story a few times. Right, and it still hits you, doesn't it?
Yes,
it still hits you, right here in the throat, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think about when you tell that story? What are you thinking about, seriously, when you tell that story?
I think about my father, and I think how I'm very grateful to still have him, and to build that relationship that we never had together. And it helps because I really, when I told the story in class, mm-hmm. I had a different story in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very hard for me to tell it, but when I told it, I felt a lot better about myself.
Let me tell you what I find amazing, and this is true for both of you. As you tell your stories today, you tell them as if they are unfolding in front of you for the very first time. Your concentration is that tight. The texture, the fabric of the words, the way that you are actually articulating these stories look like you're doing it for the very first time. It's not unlike the same reason why we love classic films. You know, we watch movies like Casablanca, The Godfather, you name them, dozens of times, sometimes hundreds of times in our lifetime, and they always look fresh. They're always different. That's the way your stories are. Despite the fact that you may have told them before, I've heard them before, they are always different. They're always fresh. There's always something that we listen to. You know, in a world where we have a lot of cryptic speech, especially among young people. And we have texting, and we have more likes and ums and you knows than the law allows. The idea of listening to this kind of artistic and human expression is overwhelming, I think. Not just as a teacher, but just as a human being. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to see. You are listening to the student storytelling series, The Natural Teller, with tellers Lucretia Hinton and Miguel Rodriguez on KPFT's Storytime. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek. Listen, you can all tell your own stories or listen to others tell their stories at the Story Swaps held on the third Tuesday of every month by the Houston Storytellers Guild. We meet at St. Andrew's House at 18th and Heights Boulevard from 7 to 8:30 p.m. I'm the proud president of the Guild, and I can tell you that we are really the greatest people in town and with the kind of comfort and conviction that you need in order to learn to tell stories well. So I want you to join us to learn ways to keep the magic of storytelling alive. Check out our website at www.houstonstorytellers.org, and please tune in next Friday, May 3rd, 9:30, for a continuation of Student Storytellers. And also, I have to tell you that thanks to your overwhelming interest, you storytelling listeners, you, and support, starting June 3rd, join me every Monday morning at 6 a.m. when Story Time begins, a new series called So What's Your Story? Same thing, you know, same circus, different clowns, as they say. And I'm excited, and I hope you are too. And please hone in on the end of May, because we at KPFT will be asking for your support during our fund drive. We need you in order to keep bringing you the programs that you expect. And we want to keep on doing that. Now, When we talk a little bit about stories, I want to ask you guys a tough question. I think you know what it is, but we know that stories come from emotional seeds. They really do. They come from your head. They come from your heart. They come from your gut. Where do they originate? Cree, let's start with you. Where does your story come from, really? Where does it come from?
Well, I would think that it originates definitely within the heart.
Heart.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
how would you describe that? Why do you think so?
It depends. Like, if it's a story that you've read, maybe like a folk tale or folklore or something that you've known all your life, it's something there that makes you want to tell it. You're passionate about it for some reason. And likewise, if it is a personal narrative, same thing applies. You're still, like, passionate to tell that story. You want people to hear it.
So you correlate passion with heart more than anything else, right?
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
Interesting. Miguel, what about you?
I also believe the same thing. It comes from the heart, because when you originate stories, it's not something that you just think of. It has to come from somewhere special, and that special place is your heart.
Well, what kind of emotion would a story have to possess in order for it to come from a gut? Anger?
I would say, for me, it would be some sort of, like, depression, sadness.
Definitely.
Oh, sadness.
Interesting. A little bit raw. Okay, what about head? What about from your head? Something a little more analytical, cognitive? What do you think?
Definitely something around there, logical.
Yeah. Right. Maybe something that forms the decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Very interesting, because I always think about that. I always use that in terms of telling my own stories. Content means so much. It means so much. I was talking the other day, and I always love to talk about Gail Godwin, a best-selling New York Times author, who always said that if you have a choice between style and content, always take content. Because you can't force content. If the content's great, the style will evolve naturally. And I think that's true with every good story. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lucretia Hinton and Miguel Rodriguez. Both of you were truly, truly terrific. And I so appreciate your willingness and your bravery for being here. Because it was brave, wasn't it? You're a brave guy.
Yes.
I think your mom's going to be proud.
Yes, I think she
is. Darn right she's going to be proud. You feel good, Gray? You feel better now?
I feel a lot better.
See, we're just about done, and I told you it would be like a matter of moments, right? I'm Hank Rubicek, wishing all of you a very, very fabulous weekend, filled with fun, frolic, and maybe a fairy tale and fable or two, because remember, it is never too late to live happily ever after. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You have been listening to Open Journal, KPFT's experiment in community-inspired radio. Since 1970, KPFT has been a unique source on the Houston airwaves. We rely on listener donations. Visit KPFT.org to support this station. KPFT listener members are welcome to produce an Open Journal. Prospective producers must fill out an Open Journal request form, which is available at our website with details. The program director welcomes your feedback on every Open Journal.